Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. A side note before we get started. This paper uses the word stunting, since that term is commonly used in the medical field. The word feels uncomfortable when I use it, so I'm going to be saying growth impairment instead, unless I'm quoting. Assume that for the sake of this presentation, those two terms are interchangeable. Worldwide, approximately one-fifth of children under the age of 5 suffer from some sort of physical growth impairment. That figure has improved virtually every year for decades, but there's still a lot of work left to do. Growth impairment has traditionally been viewed strictly as a function of malnutrition, but there is an increasing awareness that there are a multitude of other factors that correlate strongly with growth impairment. Identifying these risk factors could help clinicians intervene earlier and more effectively. In this research, the authors attempt to build a predictive model for growth impairment, a model that can analyze other household and familial risk factors and inform medical professionals of any elevated risk. Now, in the paragraph I just read, I want to make it very clear what the term predictive model means and what it does not mean. As I'm sure you remember from your college statistics class, correlation does not equal causation. The analysis covered in this paper concerns the strengths of the correlation between different variables and between risk factors and outcomes. The statistical model they generate is only predictive in the sense that when there is incomplete information for a child, this statistical model can project the most likely value or set of values for the variables that are missing. A predictive model is not a crystal ball. The researchers cannot use the model to say that certain actions will trigger specific outcomes. That would be causation, whereas the model only deals with correlation. To illustrate, let's say that for young adults, there is a strong correlation between the ownership of baby diapers and the experience of sleep deprivation. That's just a correlation. We can't look at that correlation and say that diapers must have a chemical in them that causes insomnia. The correlation does not tell you enough of the story to come to any conclusions about causation. It may, however, give you strong enough confidence that you can now predict the value of specific data when it's missing. In this example, if you know that a young adult owns a whole lot of baby diapers, but you haven't gathered any data about their sleep patterns, you may still be able to predict that they are likely to be experiencing sleep deprivation. That's how a predictive model works. Okay, with that out of the way, let's dive into this research. The authors set out to create two deliverables. One, a statistical model that could forecast growth impairment risk in children under the age of 3. Some of the training and validation they did of this model is going to make it sound like we're talking about machine learning models, but I would personally classify this more as a statistical model, more in line with data science than machine learning. But two people could easily disagree on this. The line separating statistics or data science and machine learning is blurry at best. Two, a nomogram that could be used at a glance to do the same type of prediction as the statistical model. If you're not familiar with the term nomogram, don't worry, you've probably seen one. If you can picture one of those BMI charts with red, yellow, and green shaded areas on them, that's a nomogram. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, do a Google image search for BMI nomogram, and you'll see what I mean. The researchers decided to focus on the visitors to a child health clinic in Shenzhen, China. They collected data on approximately 9,500 children who came through the doors, focusing only on children who were between the ages of 0 and 3, had a consenting primary guardian present, and didn't have any known congenital conditions or developmental delays. They surveyed the parents using the ASQ-3, the Ages and Stages Questionnaire, 3rd edition. This survey asks a number of questions and then provides a rubric that allows the researchers to convert the answers to numerical scores. They also collected demographic and lifestyle information from each family, ranging from feeding techniques like breastfeeding or formula, to birth weight, to family economic status, and more. Once they gathered the data for all 9,500 children, they divided the dataset into 80% training and 20% validation. They trained incrementally, going through several phases of feature selection before doing the actual regression. First, to normalize the presentation of the variables, they formatted all the categorical variables as frequencies. Then, they used a univariate analysis, specifically a chi-square test, to systematically prune out the variables that didn't hold strong significance. Then they used LASSO, the least absolute shrinkage and selection operator, to determine which of the remaining parameters were most influential. This technique allowed them to select important features while addressing collinearity. Finally, they used the narrowed down feature set to perform a multiple logistic regression. This, in essence, trained their statistical model. Now that the model existed, they needed to validate it using the 20% of data they had set aside for validation. For this process, they used a tool that should sound familiar to anyone who works with ML, area under the curve. But beyond that, they also performed a few extra steps. One, they measured congruence with the Hosmer-Lemeshow goodness of fit statistic. Two, they generated a nomogram of the model that could be used in a clinical setting. And three, they conducted a decision curve analysis to assess the practical utility of these new tools. Now, I'm tempted to stop here and skip the actual findings, but for the sake of thoroughness, I'm going to tell you which risk factors were found to be most predictive for growth impairment. Just please keep in mind my disclaimer from earlier about correlation not equaling causation. Okay, here we go. Here's the list of the most statistically predictive, i.e. highly correlated variables for growth impairment in young children. Age, gender, overall health status, birth order, feeding patterns, and average parent-child reading time per day. Of particular interest to a clinical setting, both EBF, exclusive breastfeeding, and higher socioeconomic status appear to be protective in a statistical sense. Now, assuming that most of us are not pediatricians, the takeaways for this research have less to do with the predictive value of those variables and more to do with the techniques that were used to generate and validate this model. From narrowing parameters with the chi-squared and lasso technique, to training with multiple logistic regression, to validating with ROC, Hosmer-Lemeshow, and decision curve analysis, to presenting as a nomogram. I think there's a lot in this paper that's worth borrowing. Should you choose to follow a similar path, just be careful not to overstate the predictive value of your correlations. If you download the paper, you'll be able to walk through the exact steps these researchers used to train their model, and you should be able to replicate their process, but with your own data. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.